Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Candy knows that I have really struggled with the message today, not because it's a hard message. It's just I had 16 I wanted to preach. But God wants one. God wants what's needed for today. And the Lord knows all the things that we're going through, the things that we're facing, and God knows how to help us when we need it the most. And certainly the Lord has poured out his blessings on us today. Luke chapter 5, we have the calling of Simon Peter concerning his following of the Lord, and also those that were his partners in business in the first 11 verses. The thing that I couldn't get over was in the first statement that's made, and it came to pass. Didn't say it didn't come. But praise God, it don't last. Came to pass. Things in life will happen that we have no control over. We've been through it. It'll come. But hallelujah, it'll pass. Doesn't last forever. I'm going to a place where coronavirus can't come. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a fit this morning. Came to pass. Didn't come to stay. We're not here forever. It's what we do while it's there that makes the difference. God has a plan in all things, and if we're not careful, we'll let all the clouds of the world fog our view to see that God's still in the business of taking care of us, and God's on the throne, and God provides just what we need. Came to pass. As the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and he saw how many ships? Two ships. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. That's why I like my Bible. It doesn't say fish, it says fishes. Amen. And their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, there they are, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners, there's that word partners again, partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook, what's the next word? All. They forsook all and followed him. This is a very interesting passage of scripture. How that the Lord is starting to call these disciples to follow him. And while he had many disciples, we know that some he never actually called, just by his actions, they knew they had to follow. But the call was just as real. Sometimes he'll speak the words to follow, and sometimes he'll just perform his miracles and you want to follow. And that's what happened here. They saw the goodness of the Lord and they knew that he was the one that had come. And even though we have no reference here to the closeness of these two, if they, some of these men had ever met Jesus, I have no idea from reading from scripture what had happened. I know some of their family had met Christ, we realize that, but yet whether they had a personal acquaintance with him, I don't know. I doubt Peter was very close to him because Simon said, I am a sinful man. So he's still a sinner at this point, but he says, I want that to change. I want to start following you. What a good day for a change for sinners to say, I think I'll follow you, Lord, instead of going my way. But there's so many fantastic lessons from this. I want to mention just a few of them to you very quickly. First of all, opportunities can come at inopportune times. This wasn't the best time for all of this to happen because he's at a place where that he's washing his nets. He's done for the day. That's what they did when they got to the end of their fishing. That's when they've come to the point where they say, I'm finished. I'm going to the house. I've done all that I can do. It's not a real good time for something to happen like this. But may I remind you, God does things by his time, not by our time. See, right now, it's not a real opportunity. The devil thought he set us up. That's what he did. He thought, I've made it so inconvenient on people that nothing can happen. But in inopportune times comes the greatest opportunities of our life. I couldn't see a better time to have a sweeping revival around the world than right now. The stage is set for a mighty stirring in the hearts of the people of God, and to see a revival poured out on us, that could be the end time revival before Jesus comes again. Then also, I see the fact that he not only comes at the most inopportune times, but when he comes, he wants what we have. See, God wanted, Jesus wanted his boat. Now, when Peter looked at things around him, he saw several things. He saw his profession. That was his profession. He was a fisherman. He saw his partners. He was not only good at it, he had others that were good at it working together with him. But then he saw his possessions. This is my boat. And the Lord says, you see your profession, and you see your partners, and you see your possessions, but I see a pulpit to teach and preach from. What you have, really what he said is what you have, it's not yours anyway. It's mine. When are we going to understand that? Everything we have, it's not ours anyway, it's his. And sooner or later, what he gives us, he's going to want it back. He gave you your life because he wants your life back. He wants you to follow him. He said the very reason that you've been successful, you don't have any idea. You've been successful, and the reason you prospered the way that you have is because you're getting ready to follow me for 3 years. For 3 years, you're not going to fish for a living. You've been so blessed already that you're going to have enough to live on to follow me for the next 3 to 3.5 years. And beyond that, if need be, we know he returned back to fishing when he got to the place that he got discouraged after Jesus had died. He went back to fishing, but until then, he had been blessed by God enough to be able to survive these years that he's following the Lord as a disciple. So what we have, God gave it to us to give back to him. Let me ask you something. Why do you think God gave you breath in your lungs today? He wants it back this morning. Well, how can I give him my breath back? I tell you, you give your breath back. Let everything that's breathing praise God. If you have breath in your lungs, you ought to praise God. You ought to praise God that you've been watched over and God's taken care of you. God said, I've given you life and health and strength. You could be somewhere in a hospital room dying right now and the breath leaving your body. But instead, God's allowed you to join in worship today to say, I've come to this place to lift my voice in praise to the living God that is in control and sustains all and sees us through it all. He wants it back. What he gave you, he wants it back. They forsook all when he was finished. But this is the first step. It had to start somewhere. It was just a boat. He said, I want it back to bless others. I blessed you, but I want it back to be able to teach others. Here's an interesting question. He launches out, gets off the shoreline, and Jesus teaches and preaches. Can I ask you a question? What did he preach? Show me in your Bible what he preached. All of this, and we don't even know what he said. What he's saying is don't miss the importance of the message. Everything God has given to us, he wants it to become a pulpit to teach others. When he gives it to us, it's so that we can turn around and be a blessing to others to say, don't look at me. I didn't do this. It's the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. This is something that God has done. So he says, I want you to give it back to me so I can teach others. Then the next thing we see is when he's finished teaching, he tells him, it's not over. Don't quit too soon. Don't fold your nets up and go home too quickly. It's not over. They said, well, we've already put our nets up. And he said, oh, I want to do more than just launch off the shoreline. See, there's three places in your Bible, and history teaches us on the Sea of Galilee, there's three distinct regions. One is called the shoreline. The shoreline is not only the edge of the shoreline, but they considered going out in the water 50 feet or so to be shoreline because it was very shallow and some of the boats couldn't even come in at particular places. They had to have places to harbor where they had cut out places to come in to have the depth to bring the boats in. That's the shoreline. Then there's the deep. The deep is up to about a half a mile out. But since this lake was formed by the hand of God and God used his creation to form this and his word to form it, out of that lake, it drops off very quickly. When you go out about half a mile, it's about 20 feet deep. That's considered the deep part of that first half mile or so out. But when you get out beyond that half mile, it's called the depths. So he said, I want you to leave the shoreline and go deeper. I don't think you're catching what I'm saying. He said, I want you to go back where you just came from. And I not only want you to go back, but I want you to go deeper. Now, it's one thing to go back and it's one thing to go deeper, but to go deeper when you just came from there and it didn't work. That's a hard thing to do. Go into the depths where that you just tried something and, oh Lord, I just did that. We've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. It didn't work. We tried everything and it didn't work. But nevertheless, at thy word, if you do what he says, you'll get what he has. If you don't do what he says, you won't get what he has. He said, I'm asking you to do one thing. Step out by faith. This is real faith because all they have to go on is their experience. And they had just gone through a long night, but it came to pass. The night is now over. And now he's taking us to a greater depth. And I want you to get in your mind something that the Lord's teaching. He will teach you in shallow waters, but he will bless you in deep waters. See, the truth of the matter is, when you first heard his command, he got on the boat, said, just go off the shoreline here, go 50 feet out or so, and let me teach and preach to the people. We don't even know what he said. I would venture to say there's a whole lot of people, some of you will probably exaggerate the truth just a little bit, not meaning to, but there's a whole lot of people that's probably just like me, that when I got saved, I really couldn't tell you what they were teaching and what they were preaching. I knew the preacher was preaching, but I couldn't tell you the chapter and the verse and the points and everything else, because all I knew is that the Lord was there. And when you go back in your experience with when you met the Lord, and when you had that experience where you obeyed Christ the very first time and you came to the Lord, some of you may not even remember who was preaching or who was teaching, or if there was any preaching or teaching at all, because we're very shallow then. See, we're just starting out. We don't know a whole lot then. We're in shallow water. But then suddenly he says, I want you to go out deeper. If you want more blessings, you can't stay in the shallow part. You can't stay there forever. You've got to get to the place where you say, I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper than ever before. See, that's where the devil made his mistake through all of this. He thought that he was going to drown the church, but the water's too shallow. Instead of drowning us, we made up our mind, we're going deeper and deeper. If I have one regret in my ministry, it's the fact that I haven't gone deeper with God, but I'm determined every day, deeper, deeper, deeper. The greatest blessings come when we go deep. And they went out deeper. Some are just trying to stay in the shallow. But instead, it drove us deeper. Can I ask you a personal question that you have to answer from your heart, and don't answer it by raising your hand? Through all of this, do you feel a little closer to Jesus? I mean, through all of this, do you love his church a little more than you ever did before? I'm here to tell you, he cleared out the sanctuary, but it got deep in here. He sent you at home and isolated you from the people that you love to worship with, but it got deep in your home. He sent you to a place where you were cut off from the world, but the thing he didn't imagine, God was right there and took you to greater depths than you've ever been before. And what he meant for evil, God is turning around for good. I'm here to tell the devil today, it's coming to pass. You meant to destroy this church and other churches, but I see it coming. People sleep than they've ever been before. More prayers will be answered. More folks will be saved. Oh, it's going to backfire on the devil. He meant to stop the church, but instead it's going to fill up and overflow. We'll see more saved. God will bless like he's never blessed before. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. In the depths is where you get the blessings. I think I'll take a 5-minute recess, let you shout it out today. I'm telling you. He says, don't go deeper. Play it safe. That's what he says. Play it safe. That's the safest thing to do. But God says, you're not going to get deeper and get my blessings if you stay in shallow water. You've got to launch out into the deep. Go into places that you haven't gone. Do things that you haven't done. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Some of you haven't ever shouted before, but you're shouting now. Some of you never raised your hand to God one time before, but you're doing it now. Some of you used to sit and laugh at people running the aisles, but you're doing it now. Amen. deeper. Some things you can only get by going deeper. Oh. 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 Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'm about to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Some people just been 2 month vacation. Some of us, though, we fought with beasts. It's been a struggle to keep the church doors open. And if it wasn't coming from places that you expected, it was coming from unexpected places. Even now, there's people that want to accuse you of all kinds of things, of being unfair. Hey, listen, I don't set the rules. I don't give the orders. I'm just a preacher trying to preach the gospel to you. Trying to tell you that you can have all of God that you want. And God will take all of you that you give him. But that's up to you. But I'm here to tell you, every time I'd spend sleepless nights, there was something about standing in this pulpit and opening up this book and looking for the unsearchable treasures of God, that when I'd hit a certain depth, I'd climb a little higher, and I'd climb a little higher, and I'd climb a little higher. Oh, my friend, the deeper you go, the more you get. What do you want? What do you want? That's the question. Give him what you've got. He'll give you what he has. And what he has is always greater than anything we offer him. Glory. Glory. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You wanted to come to church. That's all I've heard out of it. When you go to the church, when you go to the church, when you go to the church. Well, may not be everyone like we used to have, but I know who is here today. The one that really matters, he's here today. Do I have to do it all, or are you going to give him some praise? Don't you think you ought to take a few minutes and say, Lord, the very least